Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthcare Business Women's Association Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Julie Kelly, and I'm an HBA volunteer leader, your host for today, and the Vice President of Business Development for Asheville Healthcare. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the HBA, the HBA is a global nonprofit organization comprised of individuals and organizations from across the healthcare industry committed to achieving gender parity in leadership positions, facilitating career and business connections, providing effective practices that enable organizations to realize the full potential of their female talent. And our program series titled Career Transitions, Moving from A to Z with Success and Purpose, supports this mission by exploring real career journeys and sharing key learnings from our HBA members. And today's chapter is titled From Professional Athlete to Chief Medical Officer, where we will explore the career path of Carol Addy, Chief Medical Officer, HMR Weight Management Services Corporation, a subsidiary of Merck. Now, I met Carol at the HBA Leadership Conference a few years ago, and the one word I can describe Carol with is energy, energy. From hello throughout her entire presentation on wellness, Carol immediately grabbed my attention with a level of energy that she exudes. So now I'd like to welcome Carol to our show.
Hey, Julie. Great to join you today.
Yes, and we were just discussing how Carol just came from Florida back to Boston, where they expect 12 to 17 inches in March. So we are so excited about that big snowstorm, right, Carol?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you got to love that New England weather. Hard to believe. 2 weeks ago, we were in the 70s, so guaranteed to change.
Yes, yes, and I hope you have all the bread and milk that you need for the snowstorm. Always makes me laugh when I go to the store, and all the bread and milk are like, I think like people are making French toast. I'm not sure. But anyway, we're ready to go.
That must be it. That must be it.
French toast in the snowstorm. But really, today we're here to talk about Carol's career journey and understand some of the choices she made and some of her experiences. So, Carol, I want to go back just a little bit and talk about your education. And, you know, when you made that decision after high school to go to college, tell me a little about that thought process and how you made that choice and what to study.
Boy, that really is going back quite a bit, Julie. So you're going to have to be patient while I clear some cobwebs. But when I do reflect back to that time, it's interesting how I made decisions. And I think to sum it up, I think it was really just reflecting the path of least resistance. So in high school, I'd always been really good at math and science. And so I just continued that tack in my undergraduate degree. And that was fine for the first couple of years. And then I just felt like it wasn't really resonating with me. And so that really inspired me to take a year and to explore some alternatives, including a computer science class, a math class, and lo and behold, an art class. So believe it or not, I completed my undergraduate degree in art with a concentration in photography. And interestingly enough, so you're probably wondering, well, you know, how does that figure into the big picture? At time that I was finishing up my undergraduate degree, I discovered my bike and cycling. And every spare moment I was out exploring the country roads in central Ohio where I was going to school. And interestingly,
you fell in love with cycling, is what I'm hearing. You started, you transitioned to a degree in art history and discovered your bike and started riding.
On my first professional career, that being as a professional cyclist.
Mm-hmm. So that really fueled this passion for your career. Professional cyclist, tell us a little bit about that. For about 8 years after college, you were a professional cyclist?
That's exactly right. And so this was at the time when women's cycling was in its infancy. So I had the very good fortune to participate in the Olympic trials in 1984. Mm-hmm. And although I didn't make the team, I knew some of the women that made the very first Olympic team for women's cycling. And so that, to be part of that experience, was just incredible. And as well, I worked for various sponsors in the capacity of a health and fitness spokesperson. And I loved that work because it really allowed me to share more broadly my very passion that I experienced through cycling. And I remember at that time there was a little voice in my head that said, wow, wouldn't it be great to be able to do this as a career? But at the time, I just didn't really have a good understanding of how I would accomplish that. So that really served as a very potent nugget, if you will. And as I think about how my career has evolved, I think everything did come full circle in many respects because it really went back to my wanting to share that passion. And importantly, I think that was the driver for me going into medicine because I wanted to share my passion for lifestyle with my patients. We know that lifestyle in many ways is the secret bullet or the magic bullet in terms of preventing disease and a very powerful adjunct to treating many diseases.
So you went from an art history major, professional athlete, and then you went to medical school. Is that, am I following that correctly? You said you were, I believe you were in your 30s when you started your medical school journey. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, I was. And I'll tell you, that was a pretty scary leap. I'd been out of school for a number of years, and I needed to go back and finish some of my pre-medical coursework. And very scary, but at the same time, I had so much more of a laser focus, and I felt a sense of purpose, unlike I had experienced when I was doing my undergraduate coursework. And
Absolutely.
So, although it was a little bit daunting, I just felt a level of commitment that I'd never previously experienced. And
yes.
So that really, it was just my gut level instinct that took me in that direction. And similarly, as I went on to complete my internal medicine residency and my fellowship in endocrinology and metabolism, it was just really what was inspirational to me. And as I do think back about, you know, making decisions, it really was looking inwardly and what really excited me rather than just kind of going with the flow and, you know, thinking back to undergraduate going, you know, taking that path of least resistance.
Absolutely. So more proactive than reactive. It felt like
exactly.
You had to a point where you really knew what you wanted to do. I remember we had been prepping for our interview. He said you used to go into the patient offices, and instead of giving them a prescription for a medication, you give them a prescription for exercise. And I think that really resonated with me.
I did. And, you know, I got some pretty strange looks from my patients, but I think they really appreciated where I was coming from. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do the exact same thing. We've become increasingly sedentary, and I have to say that in my current role as Chief Medical Officer at HMR Weight Management, our corporate mission is lifestyle, and to now in my current role to be able to share that as broadly as I am, it's just such a perfect fit for me.
Absolutely, but there was one step in between. You did some research, is that correct?
Well, I did. So I had the very good fortune of completing a master's program at Harvard Medical School during my endocrinology fellowship. And this was a program that was aimed at clinical investigation. Now, I'd never done any research before, and so I figured, well, it was a great opportunity, and I would come out really loving it, or I would be able to cross it off the list as something that I wasn't interested in. Well, as I found out, I loved research, and I was seriously considering staying in academics to continue a career doing research within the Harvard system. But, you know, as I began to explore that and to talk to people, one of the things that really struck me is that there were not a lot of energized and happy people. And I took that as a sign. And I really took that to heart and used that as fuel to explore other opportunities. So I spoke with many people who are working in industry, and in contrast to those folks that I knew in academics, there was just really a lot of energy that these folks brought, and I could really imagine myself going in that direction. And that's, in fact, what I did, is I started working at Merck Research Laboratories, and I spent 10 years working in clinical development, developing novel therapies for treatment of obesity, diabetes, and women's health.
Oh, wow. What an exciting experience you've had. And how did that get from MRL to your current role?
Well, that's an interesting story as well. So the first drug that I worked on was a drug that we were developing for treatment of obesity. And we used HMR products during the run-in period of one of our trials so that we could achieve significant weight loss, after which we randomized our patients to active drug or placebo so we could determine whether our test drug was efficacious in maintaining weight loss. Long story short, our test drug failed. We never ultimately filed an NDA, and as we were debriefing with members of our scientific advisory board, of course, they expressed their condolences about the failure of our drug, but they were really jazzed by the weight loss that we achieved during the run-in using the HMR products. That actually served as the initial point where HMR and Merck forged the relationship that subsequently was formalized in late 2013 when HMR was acquired as a subsidiary of Merck. And that's when I came on board in my role as chief medical officer. Certainly makes a lot of sense for a company like HMR, whose mission is lifestyle and behavioral intervention to achieve clinically significant weight loss. That's a perfect fit for a company such as Merck, who has major areas of focus such as diabetes.
Right. And what a perfect chief medical officer. You, Carol. You bring all the experience to that role and the passion. So I'm like, and what a, this makes total sense to me now when I hear you tell me about your journey. So
I am so lucky because this is such a fit for me, and just to drive home, I drive in and out of Boston, which can be somewhat of a hornet's nest at times, but even on the worst days when I'm on the Mass Pike stuck in traffic, I come away with such a good feeling knowing the great work that we're doing and that I'm working for a company whose corporate mission is so aligned with my personal passion and that I'm working with others who share that passion. It really doesn't get better than that.
Great. You're absolutely correct. So that's such an important point when we talk about career transitions and selection. So can you kind of summarize for us how do you prepare for a career transition?
Oh, my goodness.
And try to make some sets of change. Yeah.
Well, I think one thing that has really struck me as I've reflected back where I've been is I think we all are familiar with at various points in our careers of having little voices that speak to us. And as I think back, I think one of the things that I've learned is to not ignore those little voices. So, for example, when I was working in clinical development, although I loved the work and the people with whom I was working, I felt like I was falling off my learning curve. And I remember thinking that, and I think for a while I tried to squelch that little voice, but over time I came to realize that that voice was really telling me something very important. And kind of came to fruition. I was just on vacation a few months ago, and I saw a sign on the street that said, "Great things never come from comfort zones." And I've really come to hold that to heart because I think where comfort zones are just that. I think in many ways they really limit our ability to grow. And so when I came into my current role, it was certainly a stretch mm-hmm. for me, as I assumed many mm-hmm. responsibilities that were very new, sometimes scary, mm-hmm. but at the same time so exciting, because I was really on that upward trajectory of my learning curve. And so I think that's really the message, is listening to the little voices and really following our gut instinct. That's really, for me anyway, it served me quite well.
Right, and then don't be afraid to stretch and get out of your comfort zone. So things might be a little scary, but you never know what you're going to experience unless you try something different. And you certainly
exactly
have quite a
right.
lot of different things. But you know, there's this common thread in your career story. So take us through that.
Well, I think, you know, again, as I reflect back to my professional cycling career and the work that I was doing as a health and fitness spokesperson, certainly my personal passion for lifestyle has been in many ways a common thread throughout. But as well, and as just as I mentioned, what really took me and carried me through these transitions was just listening to my heart and just, you know, mm-hmm. listening to my passions. And I think many times we're too much thinking about things rather than just really following our hearts. And mm-hmm. I think there were many times where I did take a long look in the mirror and, you know, really reflected in terms of what were those things that were most important to me. And I think when we do that, I think that we can't go wrong. And again, listen to those little voices. Don't ignore them, because they're really trying to tell us something.
Excellent, excellent. How has the HBA played a role in your career, Carol?
Well, it's interesting. So I was an HBA member back when I was working in research. And at that time, I think because I was maybe too much in my comfort zone and not really understanding where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do, or perhaps what it was that I was ignoring the little voices that I was hearing, it wasn't a good fit for me. That having been said, in my current role, I've reconnected with HBA over the last couple of years and have really seen it as an invaluable opportunity to connect with like-minded women. And I think one of the things that I've really appreciated is listening to others' stories and understanding their transitions and reflecting that back to myself and understanding where am I going from here going forward. As well, mm-hmm. I've enjoyed very much sharing my story, and so I'm just getting ready to start with the HBA mentoring program as a mentor. Our kickoff starts tomorrow, so I'll get to meet my co-mentor and the mentees in my group. So looking forward to that, and really seeing that as a means by which I can give back, and as I reflect upon all the time that others have devoted to me during my career explorations. As well, I've signed up to participate in the Fit to Lead program, which is a relatively novel program, and I think just a fabulous way to demonstrate that link between fitness and leadership.
Absolutely. Great programs, and thanks for giving back. That's such an important part of the HBA, and you're going to really enjoy that mentorship program. I'll tell you, I think I got as much out of it as the mentees when I was a leader here in the mentor chapter. So, Carol, what's next
That's
for
terrific.
You?
Oh, my goodness. Well, just come back from a week of meetings in Orlando. Very inspirational. It was an opportunity for me to work with others in HMR to train folks that are coming on board to HMR, and just so great to work again with such a broad network of like-minded individuals as we seek to scale the delivery of our HMR programs. On a personal front, I am competing in kettlebell lifting competitions, and I just had my first competition of the year on March 3rd, and now preparing for my reentry workout tomorrow as I embark upon planning for my next competition April 1st.
Wow. Well, I just want to tell the listeners that I'm sitting on an exercise ball. So I'm trying to move forward. But nothing like lifting kettlebells. But Carol, you're such an inspiration. And when we first spoke, as I listened to your career journey, I was like, wow, I really have to get Carol on this show. And it has been just a delight to have you here. So we're almost out of time. So I want to thank you, Carol, for sharing your journey and your insights, and hope that our HBA members have benefited from this program today. And we look forward to our next HBA interview, From College to Colleague, where we explore early career transitions with one of our millennial members, Julia Helm, and she's the procurement specialist at Bristol-Myers Squibb. So the HBA is now signing off. Thanks again, Carol.
Thank you, Julie.
Bye-bye now.